It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, welcome. It's a sunny Sunday morning live from the Erie County Fair. It is Hardline, the final day of the fair. We've been here almost the entire time, and we've got a packed show for you. We'll be speaking with New York State Police Trooper James O'Callaghan in just a few seconds. Alex Burgos, he's a DNC delegate. He'll be joining us at 10:30. Councilwoman Zanetta Everhart, she's also a delegate. She'll be joining us at 11. At 11:15, we have Congressman Nick Langworthy. And at the end of the show, I just remembered I'm saying the times, but this re-airs at 6. At the end of the show, we'll be talking to the CEO of the Erie County Fair, Jessica Underberg. All live here. Gates open at 11, so if you're here at 11, come stop by and see a live radio show in person. But we are joined by Trooper James O'Callaghan. How's it going?
It's going great. Here we are. It's beautiful out. Things are good.
Things are good. Now, you've been here all but like 2 days of the fair.
That's correct. Yeah. It's been the best 10 days of summer for
yeah,
me, right?
Same here. I've been here all but 2 days as well. And every time I see you, except for now, you always have some kind of delicious fair food.
I do. I had, don't worry, I had cookies in our booth. It looks like they may have been left over from last night, okay. But I did eat those this morning. But yes, the food here, I mean, that's part of the fair.
That it's is the food. Fair, right?
Yeah. It's a fair. It's a food fair.
Do you fast before the fair to make it all acceptable?
I try to eat as best I can when I'm not here, but like you said, I'm here a lot, so I try and calm down on the dinners. And but next week, or I should say this week, right, we both talked about how we have to buckle down and really, clamp down on this kind of eating.
I start a journey this week, and more of that later on. The sun's right behind you. You wonder why in the middle of the interview I put my sunglasses on. The sun was glaring, so
okay.
I just wanted to
I trust you.
Now, obviously, with the fair, this is the last day, and, so much going on. We could sit here and talk about the fair the whole time, but there's more important things going on. And one of the things that is in and out of the news, and it seems like we've been talking about it a lot, especially the last year, are car thefts here in New York State. It seems like when we talk car thefts, we talk about certain brands of cars. Is that still the case?
Not really the case, no. Yes, back we'll talk about the brand Kia, right?
Yeah.
It was obviously one of those things where they figured out electronically a way to bypass the security system of the vehicle and start their vehicle with like a key fob with the downloaded executed file on it. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. That's a lot of firmware stuff that's a company to handle. But not only that, but that was like a certain portion of a manufacturing year where they kind of, I don't want to say cheaped out, but didn't do the proper security, like a key fob. Like you have a key fob or you have a chip in your key, and that simultaneously activates another security protocol within the vehicle, and they work together in unison to start the vehicle. So if you don't have one of those things, like the fob or the chip in the key, and you could just start the car, that's kind of the go-around or how that kind of worked out. But there's only a few manufacturers in certain model years that didn't use those things, but for the most part now, most if not every car has that, when you buy a new car.
So we're talking more old school car break-ins now?
Yeah, we're talking, back when, 20 years ago, you always saw movies or different things, but in reality, it worked the same way. They popped the steering column, and they were able to bypass it, get around the key, which would activate your car, because back then there were no chips, right? You had the old steel keys. And unfortunately, you had two steel keys. Remember, you had the round one for the door lock, and then you had the square one to start the car. But it was very similar to that. And then over time, you saw that little chip inside that square key, like Chevy started doing, to work in unison with the electronics of the vehicle. But very similar to that, some of the newer cars in the 2000s still kind of adapted that old technology.
Are we seeing people leave the keys in the car?
Okay, so when we're talking about vehicle larcenies, since 2022 to 2023, New York State Police here in Drew Bay have seen a 31% increase in vehicle larcenies. So that means the entire car, the car's in your driveway or in a parking lot, and now it's not. So that's what we're looking at. And most of the time, over 90% of the time, the when we go out and we interview the owner of that vehicle or the situation, and we look at different pieces of evidence that we're able to gather, whether it be cameras or interviews, 90% of the time it's the keys left in the vehicle, the vehicle's unlocked. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. I know it seems like it's crazy common sense to lock your cars, but over 90% of our vehicles stolen are, can't believe this happened in this neighborhood. It's such a good neighborhood. I never thought that my car would get stolen, so I leave it unlocked. And not only do I leave it unlocked, I leave the keys in the cup holder with my wallet right next to it and my laptop in the back seat. But that seems to be the 90% trend that we see.
And you've got people that are just going car to car, right? Because I've seen on Ring Alarm or on the Neighborhood Watch pages, people saying, oh, someone was going car to car in my neighborhood at 1 in the morning just to find that one car that's unlocked, and maybe the keys are in the cup holder in the glove box.
So what we're finding due to the arrests that we've made in the investigations that we work with other departments in the area. So we're the New York State Police, but we definitely work with Amherst. We work with Erie County Sheriffs, Niagara County Sheriffs. We have different troopers that community stabilization unit that worked kind of everyone sends a person, you know, to this detail. So everyone kind of works in unison. And what happens is we do have, unfortunately, 12, 13, 14, 15 year old kids. These are, by the way, juveniles that couldn't even get a license if they tried, right? You got to be 16 to take your permit. So they're going out in stolen vehicles, might be 4 to 5 to a car, in a stolen car, going out to the suburbs or different areas, and they'll just go down streets where there's condensed housing, driveways or cars are parked closer to the road, and they're going to just park, get out, try the cars. If they're locked, they get in the car, they move on to the next house, and they're going to continue that. And if they could steal 3 or 4 stolen cars that night, they're going to. They're going to leave with those stolen cars. Some cars most cars have the keys in them, or keys are unlocked. There are ways that you can get around with technology to steal these cars, but those aren't our 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old. They're just crime of opportunity. Cars unlock, keys in it, they're going to take the car. When we start getting into more advanced car thefts with, key fob modifiers that boost the signal, that might be a key fob in your house that boosts it so your car thinks it's in the car, those are done by our tech-heavy people that have resources, that have a little bit of money, and they're a little bit older than that young teenage kid.
But the teenage kid, that's what's leading? You'd say that's the highest percentage right now of car thefts?
Most of our car thefts are being done in the low teen to just above 16, 17, 18, in that bracket. I'd say 20 and below. That's most of our car thefts. Most of the people or arrests that we make are juvenile arrests, if not maybe 17, 18. But typically, that's what we're finding.
So the best way to protect your car, like you said, it seems like common sense, is to lock it and not leave the keys in it.
Lock it. Don't leave the keys in it. We always said leave your lights on. Make sure everything's well lit. That seems it does play a little bit of a role, but not always. These teens have become pretty brazen. They will go down that driveway late at night. As long as they don't see a physical issue, like a person, they're going to go and they're going to try those cars. It takes them seconds to just unlock. Okay, doors are locked. Let's go. They'll go to the next house, like trick-or-treating. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing. And we have a lot of proof of this. We are able to solve crimes due to body, you know, most houses now have cameras, not just a Ring doorbell, but cameras all along their houses and multiple houses, so we can get a timeline of streets and different suspects and different things that we can work with. And then what happens is when we recover the car, we typically recover the car. It's not like these cars are going to the chop shop like you see in a movie.
That was my next question.
See, I'm ahead of you. They're not going to a chop shop. They're not going to, you know, on some boat somewhere being sold overseas for money. No, this is just the crime of, hey, let's go out and have fun. Yeah. We're going to steal some cars until they run out of gas, or maybe we took it and the car started. Maybe the fob wasn't there. It was in close proximity, close enough to have started. However that works out, and it only drove a couple miles. Or they call us, hey, my car was just stolen. We're able to work with the manufacturer to shut the engine down, because a lot of these newer cars have some technology in them where we could actually pinpoint the car, shut the motor down from a remote location using the manufacturer through the stolen vehicle. And that car just stops working on some intersection somewhere, because once the car stops at a stop sign or a signal light or wherever it stops, the motor will just kill out. And that's the end of that, you know, theft. But most of the time we find these vehicles, we recover them. They're usually banged up. They have some dents and dings on them. They usually typically smell like marijuana inside the vehicle. That's a common complaint when someone recovers their car. A car reeks like marijuana. And that's just kind of how it is. We typically don't find them burned down. We don't find them, you know, like I said, missing doors and hoods and fenders and motors. Like they're as they got stolen, just dented up. They smell, and pretty much anything of value is not in the car anymore.
The plates are still on it?
The plates are, yeah. The car is exactly like it is. It might have some broken windows if they get out and, you know, break stuff or kick the doors, but that's, like I said, damage, just a little bit of damage.
You say a lot of these are under 16, right? So they don't even have a license.
Nope.
Are we seeing a spike in accidents caused by non-licensed teenage drivers?
So when it comes down to, okay, we have the vehicle, this BOLO was put out for this vehicle, and a department sees it, whether it be us or somebody else. Okay, we're calling in, this is reported stolen, and you know what happens next is you see in the news every day a pursuit ensues, right? They're not going to stop. They're going to keep driving until they hit something, crash the car, or we have to terminate the pursuit because it is that dangerous, and it puts not only the people in that vehicle at risk, but maybe even the officer or the public, depending on where we're at. So we have to terminate that pursuit. And unfortunately, if that vehicle crashes, then there's a lot of litigation things that have to take place. You know, was an officer, you know, was it worth pursuing that stolen vehicle? And now we have a possible injured, you know, teen or an injured or killed teen, you know, because of this. So we have to look at a lot of different scenarios with this. Obviously, we don't want anyone to die. We don't want loss of limb, right? And so we have to be very careful on how we proceed with that. What's the manpower look like in that area? Are there any assistance from other departments that could come in and help pursue or maybe box this vehicle in? Well, if that's not the case, then let's drive as fast as we can to pursue a car without any kind of means to how are we going to stop this pursuit. That's what we have to look at, all of those scenarios, and we have all of that information through dispatch and where cars are, and so all of that's taken into is a perception of, okay, what are we doing with this? And unfortunately, you see it. We have fatalities with teens driving stolen vehicles right on the 33. We have multiple, you know, collisions involving teens. In some of these instances, they're not from, like, maybe Buffalo. A lot of the recovered vehicles are found in Buffalo. But we have people from Rochester coming over and taking vehicles and using stolen vehicles. So this isn't just, like, a Buffalo problem. This is an everywhere problem.
Last traffic question. The move-over law, which has been in effect for some time now, we're seeing a spike in tickets written for people not obeying that law?
So the move-over law is very important. That's the workspace of any trooper, any emergency vehicle, or any service vehicle out there to protect you and your family, right? And that's kind of the goal of that whole thing. It's their workspace, the shoulder of the roadway. If anyone's ever had a flat tire on the thruway or interstate, you know that is not the place you want to be. Your whole car rocks because of the movement of the vehicles going by. It's very scary. But we're looking at is from 2022 to 2023, even though we're saying move over, move over, move over, we still see a 7% increase in people ticketed for not moving over. And so that's alarming because you put workers on the roadway, service vehicles, troopers, officers, and other people at risk of being hit and killed. You know, Trooper Kevin Dobson was killed on the 290 on a ramp. He wasn't even on the actual interstate, but he was on the ramp to get on that 290. And he was hit doing about 30 miles an hour, and he was killed getting hit at 30 miles an hour. Most of these vehicles are doing 55, 65. Some of them even not only don't move over, they don't even slow down. They might be doing 70 some miles an hour. That's a guaranteed fatal. You will have dead bodies at those speeds. And that's why it's so important for people to move over.
Yes. Now, scams also. A new scam or different scams. I heard Bellavia talking about this earlier in the week. And you guys are keeping tracks on these new scams.
So when it comes to scams, we have a few things that we prioritize in our Bureau of Criminal Investigation. We're not going to get on this topic, but one of our highest arrests right now is child pornography. That's something we don't advertise, but we do work on it quite a bit. And that is one of our top, I guess, workloads. So second to that is our scams. We have a lot of people. We have not a few thousand dollars, not just like a couple hundred thousand dollars. We're looking at over $1 million of loss prevention, people hard-earned money taken right here just in Western New York. So that is one of our top goals, is to crack down on these scams. Well, the only way for us to crack down on these scams is by awareness. We have to put it out there like, hey, you could be a victim if. And that's why this is so important to go over. There's no one way here. That's the problem. There's so many different scams. The biggest one we see is by email, verifying accounts. Your Social Security's been hacked. There's in every scam, there's one thing that's common, whether it be a phone call scam, whether it be an internet scam, whether it be a social media scam. There's one thing that always kind of tracks with all of these: urgency. Urgency, okay? If you don't do this right now, something's going to happen with your money. If you don't do this right now, your identity's going to be stolen. If you don't do this right now and check your account, we're going to close your account. It's the urgency, and people get panicked when they get, you know, when things like that pop up. It's unacceptable, but it's one of those things that comes up and you weren't ready for it, and now it's important to you. And that urgency makes you make rash decisions instead of sitting back and being like, okay, is this real? Is this person real, even contacting me? And then what if I don't do it right now? What if I sit on this? What would happen? That urgency. So a couple urgency things we have. Caller calls up. Grandma and grandpa, typically this is an older, elderly thing. But I want to say that a few years ago, you would get someone pretending to be Trooper Jim O'Callaghan or some other department. Hey, we have your niece or nephew here. They've been involved in an accident. They broke their nose. We had to make an arrest. And they're going to sound a little different because of their injuries, but they need bail money, right? That was one. And it's very urgent, because if you don't do it right now, we're sending them to jail. And they're in another country sometimes. They're, you know, because a lot of times grandma and grandpa might not know the inner workings of what the rest of the family's doing, right? Maybe they're in a home. But the thing is, grandma and grandpa have a lot of money because they have lived a long time and have a lot of money vested. So that's one of the things that they look at. And it comes down to that urgency. But here we are in the world of artificial intelligence now. They can actually mimic my voice you're hearing on this radio, and they, using social media and just a few videos and getting some keywords, they can actually replicate the voice of a loved one. So it sounds really convincing in the moment. The best thing you could do if you get a call that's that, you know, left field, you have to tell your elderly, you know, loved ones that may be living with you or maybe in a home, that don't ever give money to anyone. Don't believe that stuff. Call the executor. Okay? But this happens not maybe with the elder. This could be someone in their 40s and 50s. We see it all the time. And it's one of those where if you're not sure that could be true, say, hey, what's your name again? What's a callback number? Let me give you a call back in just a minute. Hang up and call that person that is the niece or nephew and ask them what's going on. Chances are going to be like, no, I'm home watching Netflix. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's going to be. So we see that one. That one works very well with the elder community that have a lot of money. And so we see that one.
And that one's been around for a while.
But you add artificial intelligence, it makes it very convincing.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the big ones, too, is computer crimes. This is where our Troop A computer crimes or computer crimes in New York State get involved. So you get an email and it says you verify your account, your Social Security's been hacked, or you have some sort of banking, your bank has been compromised. Compromise is another key term. Urgency, something's been compromised. And if we don't act fast, you're going to suffer for this. So what happens is that email, with a long story short, when you click on that link, not only does it take the user, the victim, to a website that looks very similar and very convincing to what it actually should look like, whether it be the IRS, whether it be your banking page, whether it be a Netflix or an account carrier page, whatever the case may be, it will look very convincing. Your Verizon page, right? You get those Verizon emails. So what happens is that link not only sends you to that page as a victim, but in real time, the people watching you on that page is watching every keystroke you make, and there's different computer things that they could do to mimic and look at your page, because you're agreeing to different things as you go through that page, and there's a possibility one of those agreements is to watch and monitor or possibly control your computer. Not all the time, but depends on how your computer's set up and the security functions you have. But at the very least, they can watch your keystrokes and see what you possibly putting in for passwords. Now, if it's your banking website, and now you're putting your banking information, so now you've put your password in, right? You go into your banking. Oh, here's my accounts. Everything looks up to par, and they want you to go, like, go here, do this. While you're doing this on this fake web page, the actual suspect are draining your accounts in real time. You have no idea. They're literally taking your banking information from what it was to zero, and they're taking all your money. But you, as the victim, you're on the page thinking everything's good to go, and you're answering a few more questions, and everything looks good. Okay, everything's all set here, and you, none the wiser, right?
And the fake page looks like what your account should
look
like.
It looks just like it. They're mimicked. But like I said, in real time, they're taking your money. So but because you're on that page, it looks real.
Yeah.
So you don't have any idea that they're taking your money. So we see this too, and this is computer crimes. And a lot of this money goes overseas. Once the money leaves electronically like that, it's almost impossible for New York State Police or any department to get that back.
Wow.
If it's a credit card, you can make, credit cards are a little different because you're able to make a claim on a credit card. It's not liquid money, right? You might be able to get some of that back. If this part of the scam is to go to, and this should be a red flag, if you need to pay somebody something for something, whatever the scam may be, and the payment they want is gift cards from Home Depot or Walmart in abundance, that should be a red flag. No one wants gift cards for payment, right?
You are
the IRS.
That was my next question.
The IRS doesn't want gift cards from Home Depot. The state police don't want the bail money from Walmart gift cards or Target. I mean, those things should be red flags. Bitcoin, no one's taking Bitcoin in the federal government or a government agency. Those things are not something that we take in as leverage to release or do business with, okay? So any of those things should be an immediate red flag as to, yeah, this is definitely a scam.
Now, you said, once the money goes overseas, difficult to get that money back. Is it difficult to shut these down because the operation's overseas?
It's difficult to shut them down. You're right, the operation's overseas. They used very sophisticated IP address hoppers and our computer crimes and the black web and all of that stuff is unfortunately real. And it's gotten so, I guess, want to say popular to rip people off. It's very easy for this to happen. So in New York, Troop A, which is Western New York, that's what State Police, Troop A, we are building a dedicated entire new building for computer crimes at HQ in Batavia.
Wow.
It's a huge expansion for our police, our headquarters there, and it's a multi-million dollar expansion, but they will get a much bigger, better building, basically to put more bodies in there, investigators, to work at and solve these crimes because, like I said, between the electronic fingerprint of child pornography and these scams, we need a lot of computer crimes bureau people to be in there, specialists that will, look into this and tamp down on this. But it's very difficult. Our guys work with Homeland Security, FBI, and this is an everyday thing. And unfortunately, it's a very popular way, an easy way, for these suspects to get money from everyday American, people that just go day to day, do normal business. But like I said, if you have money in a bank account or you're elderly and you got sums of money, you are top of the pyramid people to get hacked.
Trooper James O'Callaghan, thank you so much. It's been great seeing you this
week.
Thank
you. Absolutely.
All right. Alan, sorry, a few minutes late. Alan Harris with the news. We'll be back after the break with Alex Burgos. He is a delegate at the DNC starting tomorrow here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.